Well, good evening again, and welcome to our Good Friday service. I have the honor and privilege of bringing God's Word to us tonight, and the title of my sermon is, May I Have Your Attention, Please? And I'll be preaching out of Revelation 8, verses 6 through 13. And my hope tonight is to call us to attention to what our Almighty Lord is doing in the world today, and how that should lead us to repentance. The thing is that a lot of things will vie for our attention. And the Lord desires that our attention be focused upon Him, and He does do and use things, many different things, to grab our attention. One of those ways is one day, the day after Christmas, almost 20 years ago, in 2004, an earthquake of the magnitude of 9.1 shook the earth's surface, the seabed of the Indian Ocean off the coast of Sumatra, Indonesia. Shockwaves from this incredibly powerful earthquake radiated throughout the area, and it took approximately 7 hours for the resulting tsunami to reach the shores of Africa, but only 20 minutes for its first waves to hit the coast of Indonesia and some of the Indian islands. Some of the tsunami's waves reached heights of 100 feet tall. And once these waves hit the shores of these countries and the surrounding areas, it was not long until the devastation took extreme effect. Local economies were obliterated. Some 51,000 ships were destroyed. Economic experts placed the financial devastation at $4 to $6 billion, but it was 230,000 people who lost their lives that day from seven countries that originated from one extremely powerful earthquake. Storms and powerful forces of nature don't always have this devastating effect, like the scale of the Boxing Day tsunami of 2004, but none of us would doubt the power that we see in the things that happen around us, from droughts and fires, hailstorms, tornadoes, and all those things. Here in our passage, we will hear some of what the forces of nature are doing, and some of those natural forces that do come at the beckoning of our God when a trumpet is blasted. And those who hear, and when those trumpets do blare their cry, there is intentionality behind each one. So before we read the passage, I do want to set the stage of how I'm approaching the text. Instead of approaching the book of Revelation like any other book of the Bible that is like a letter or a narrative or a history, we need to approach it the way it is, because what the Revelation is more like a picture book. Revelation is apocalyptic literature, which basically uses imagery and visions. And then also John uses figurative language like something like or blazing like a torch. So I don't believe these are literal accounts of what is or will take place, but these are pictures of a vision given to John. And as John was writing this, we must also see that he had opened, so to speak, his own Bible at the time, which was the Old Testament. So if something familiar rings out to you, you need to ask yourself, is this coming from the Old Testament? Where is it found? And then what is this helping us to understand? So with that, I'll read Revelation chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. So here in our word, in tonight's sermon, I have basically just 2 points for us. One will cover verses 6 through 12, the first four trumpets, and the second point will cover verse 13 only. But instead of revealing to you what is exactly that first point, we're going to build to it. So for the note takers out there, just hold a blank there and I'll come back to it. For the first point, though, there are three things that will help us to discern what may be going on in the picture John is describing. We have the aspects of the trumpets. We have how the trumpets are anchored, and then we also have the announcements that the trumpets are blaring. And like one of those paint-by-numbers pictures, think of each of these as adding a splash of color to build to the picture painted here in our passage. So our first aspect of these trumpets is decreation. There's a theological concept out there that because of our sin, there is a decreation occurring during this time on earth. So looking back on the creation account in Genesis, remember God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. On the first day, light was created, distinguishing between day and night. On the second day, he separated the day and the earth on the, sorry, on the separate, he separated heaven on the second day and earth on the third day, with dry land and vegetation and sea. Then on the fourth day, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the fifth, God created living creatures and the sea and air. And finally, on the sixth day, God created man and the land animals. So with this in mind, look at the passage and see what is happening when the trumpets are blown. Every piece of physical creation is affected. What God created is facing a decreation in the trumpets. Vegetation created on the third day is burned up with the first trumpet. When the second trumpet blows, we see the sea created on the third day and its creatures created on the fifth day impacted. Then as the third trumpet is blown, the rest of the waters created on the third day become bitter and lead to the death of some people who were created on the sixth day. And finally, on the fourth day, the celestial sources of light, the sun, the moon, and the stars are darkened. I'm sorry, on the fourth trumpet, I was saying day. In this decreation, though, the use of physical creation points to the physical nature of the first four trumpets. A second aspect of the trumpets we see is as each trumpet is blown, there is an escalation that occurs. We go from hail and fire to something like a great mountain, to a great star falling from heaven, and finally to the sun, the moon, and the stars. As each of those actors are increasing, their impact reflects that same escalation. It's impacting the land's vegetation, to the sea and its creatures, to embittering the rivers and springs, resulting in some people dying, and finally to the darkening of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The third aspect, when we look at the trumpets, we see that there is this language used, the same thing over and over. A third of the trees, a third of the earth. It was a third of the living creatures in the sea, a third of the ships, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, a third of the stars are darkened. And we have to ask, why is it that we see a third in each one of these? What we see, though, is that not the entire thing is destroyed. The impact isn't complete, but the impact is partial. So this is a very key aspect about the four trumpets. Every single one of them has a partial impact. So we see that the aspects of the first four trumpets are actively decreating what God created as good, but only partially as they build to the crescendo that will be the final trumpet. So now let's turn our attention to how they're anchored. And first we need to understand when it is that the trumpets are blowing to help us anchor this vision. Let's briefly look at a couple of places. So we find ourselves in the book of Revelation at the beginning, where Jesus is walking among the lampstands in the first three chapters, and the seven churches are addressed. John is then taken up into heaven, into the very throne room of God, where the standing slain Lamb of the Lord takes and is about to take the scroll. He takes it, and then the trumpets are blown after the seals are done. So what we see here with Christ at the throne, who is the slain Lamb, I'm going to set before us the proposal that we're witnessing a scene that occurs after Christ is resurrected and is at the right hand of the Father. The other clue as to when this vision of the trumpets occurs can be ascertained by looking at two other related visions. There are seven trumpets being blown. In the book of Revelation, we also have seven seals and seven bowls. In the accounts of the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, the seventh iteration of each of those has the same scene. In the throne room of God, with a stormy sequence that has peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, rumblings, and a great earthquake. So what we have, and it seems to be indicating, is that the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl are picturing one and the same, the final judgment of the Lord. Thus, in the three visions, we see the same timetable, but they each represent different stories occurring during that timetable. So taking the beginning of it all in the throne room of God, after Christ ascends, coupled with the timetable presented in the three visions, ending in the final judgment of God, we see that the trumpets occur in the period between the two advents. Christ's first advent, when he first came, lived a life, died on the cross, and was resurrected to the right hand of the Father. And then the second advent, when Christ will return for his people, and the final judgment occurs. These trumpets are blowing now. Another anchor comes as John grounds his vision in stories that would be familiar to his audience and to us from the Old Testament to help them and us understand what's going on here, mostly from the plagues of Egypt, from the book of Exodus, but other places as well. In the first trumpet in verses 6 and 7, the actors are hail and fire mixed with blood, which should bring to mind images of the seventh plague of Egypt from Exodus 9. In this plague, God warned the people through Moses that if Pharaoh would not let his people go, he would send hail upon the Egyptians. Pharaoh did not listen, but his heart remained hard toward the Lord. Therefore, on the next day, very heavy hail fell upon those who were out in the field, killing the beasts of the field and the people who did not heed the warning, destroying plants and trees as well. The first trumpet mirrors this seventh plague, but also adds that blood is mixed in, which likely highlights the destructive power of this trumpet. In the second and third trumpet blast, God is sending forth something like a mountain on fire and a star from heaven blazing like a torch, affecting the waters of the sea, rivers, and springs. Several things seem to be going on here from the Old Testament. First off, the waters of the sea were turned to blood. And again, we should be reminded of that first plague in Exodus chapter 7. It's in this plague, like the seventh plague, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened, and this was the beginning of it all. God wanted his people set free, so Moses and Aaron met Pharaoh at the Nile River. Aaron's staff strikes the waters turned to blood, fish died, and the river stank, and there was no drinking water throughout Egypt. Additionally, the actors of the second and third trumpets, the mountain and the falling star, further flesh out this anchor from the Old Testament. Again, we're talking about figurative language, so it's not a literal account. But where do we hear these things used? Well, in the second trumpet, we hear about, this should hearken us back to the Old Testament and the use of mountains. In Jeremiah 51, it says, "I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea before your very eyes for all the evil that they have done in Zion, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, declares the Lord, which destroys the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags and make you a burnt mountain." John uses this image of something like a great mountain in the second trumpet to call forth God's use of a mountain in Scripture, here and in other parts, to represent the empires of this world. The fact that the mountain is burning is God's judgment against these empires. So in Jeremiah 51, we see Babylon referred to as a great mountain that will be burned. Babylon, an empire of the world, will be destroyed. Secondly, in the third trumpet, a great star blazing like a torch named Wormwood falls from the sky. We see the use of wormwood or bitter, which the star's name means, used elsewhere in the Bible to talk about the bitter consequences of sin. And again, we have to think back, where do we see something like this happening? In Isaiah 14, it tells us that there is a star that falls from heaven. Then an angel falls from heaven. Oh, great day star of the heavens will fall because he was saying in that moment, I will ascend to heaven. So Babylon is being compared to this, but we also see that Christ also refers to a falling star, and Satan falling like a star in Luke chapter 10. So this idea where I will ascend to the heavens to make myself great is a consequence and is a result because of the sin that is in our hearts. And God's use of and calling it wormwood and saying that it's bitter reflects the nature that there is bitter consequences to our exalting ourselves above God through our sin. One commentator also noted that these world empires like Babylon or Putin's Russia, Nazi Germany or secularist America, and many other empires, the idolatry of these empires are embittering, polluting the sources of life, such as marriage, the family, communities, and civil relationships. In this way, history records God as constantly judging idolatrous man, making bitter the lives of those who seek to raise themselves above God. So we see here in the second and third trumpets a call back to the first plague of Egypt and God's destruction and judgment of the wicked nations. The secular empires that are at enmity with God, who make the world bitter through their idolatrous ways, let alone the embittering nature of our own sin and desire to escalate ourselves above God. Finally, in the fourth trumpet, darkness is clearly in view here, which easily relates back to the ninth plague in Egypt in Exodus 10. In this plague, Moses stretched out his hand, and a felt darkness enveloped the land of Egypt for 3 days, but not in the land of Goshen where God's people were. This plague affected only rebellious Egypt. It was not on his people. To help us understand what may be going on here, remember what happens on Calvary. When the Son of God was crucified and died, Jesus, the light of the world, hung upon the cross, and then darkness came over the land and came at his death to demonstrate, as one commentator put it, the removal of God's blessing, which helps us understand the connection with the ninth plague and the fourth trumpet. So again, our paint-by-numbers picture is taking shape with the aspects of the trumpets and how they are anchored, colored in. And with this, we can finally turn our attention to what the trumpets are announcing. So to help us answer these questions to what they may be announcing, we need to first ask, why trumpets? What is it that trumpets do? Where do we see trumpets used in the rest of Scripture? And what was their function? Let me present to you Judges chapter 7. In this passage, as Gideon is leading three companies of 100 soldiers each, surrounding, and they were about to attack the Midianite camp, it says, "So Gideon and the 100 men who were there, who were with him, came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man against men's sword against his comrade and against all the army, and the army fled." So in this passage and many others, the basic function of the trumpets was to make an announcement. But here specifically in Judges chapter 7, they were used to announce something very particular to the Midianites. The trumpets used by God's people surrounding that camp were announcing judgment. And this is finally the revelation of our first point. So take all these clues, all the colors that from our picture book, the decreation of our world through the natural world, the escalation of the images, their partial nature, the anchoring of this vision in the Old Testament references, the anchoring of it here and now, and this is the thrust of why we have the vision of trumpets in Revelation, because the trumpets are announcing judgment. In particular, these seven trumpets are used to announce judgment on the wicked. As Joel preached a couple of Sundays ago from 2 Samuel 6, our God is a consuming fire. He is holy and righteous and just. And because he is just, he rightfully pours out his anger and wrath upon sin. And those who reject God while they are alive now will experience partial judgment. But then, at the end of days, God's full wrath and full judgment will be poured out upon them for all eternity. And like the plagues, the trumpets are blown, as we hear from Exodus 9, where God says, "So that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. And for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." One of God's purposes in the Exodus plagues and in the trumpets of Revelation is to demonstrate his glory, put his power on display, and herald his name above all nations. In doing so, he clearly demonstrates that we who think we are above him are truly not, because he is Almighty God. So primarily, these first four trumpets are announcing judgment upon the wicked and speak to the physical judgment that comes upon them now. But secondarily, in our second point, the trumpets reveal warning. Not everyone who hears the trumpets will repent and believe. No, they will experience a partial judgment now and then full judgment at the final trumpet. However, there are some who will hear these trumpet blasts and take them for the warning that they are. He who has an ear, let him hear what the trumpets are announcing. Those who remain outside of Christ, you will experience judgment throughout all of your days, and finally, for all eternity, as you experience the just wrath of God for your sins. But if you are here, and you hear my words, and the sound of the trumpets to you are of warning, then heed their warning. Do not ignore their plea. When we see the trumpets blowing, and we see that there is devastation that is taking on, there is pain and torment, we see that they are using a decreation, that they're escalating in nature, that they're partial though, and that they're rooted in the Old Testament, in Old Testament examples of what God was doing to judge his people, then I pray and I plead with you to get right with God, to hear the warning that is in these trumpets. For as we read the last verse in our passage, an eagle arrives crying out to warn of more to come. This eagle cries out to the world a warning that woes are coming, the final three trumpets. These woes are greater and far worse as they relate to the spiritual judgment about to take place in this vision. But look at the detail of the eagle in this verse. Where is he? What does the word say? The word says that this eagle is flying overhead. And if so, how is one to see him? To see him, one's eyes should be turned up. And we too should direct our gaze heavenward when we hear these warnings. We turn our eyes heavenward to Christ. Why? Because on that cross, some 2,000 years ago, as he hung on that judgment tree, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, bore the punishment we deserve. The trumpets are announcing judgment. Judgment that God has for sinners because the sins we commit are against the Lord and him alone. Because God is holy and we reject him through our sins, we deserve judgment. But the Bible tells us that it was Jesus upon that cross that took the judgment we deserve upon himself. And what was that judgment that he took for Christians? On the cross, he was crushed for our iniquities. He was pierced for our transgressions. On the cross, Jesus became a curse for all who are hung on a tree, become a curse to the Lord. On the cross, the just and full wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. The Father's anger and indignation for our sin was poured out on our precious Savior. On the cross, Jesus faced the humiliation and rejection of the Father. On the cross, Jesus took our death that would have been an eternal death in hell. J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, succinctly puts it this way for the Christian. Our sins have been punished. The wheel of retribution has turned. Judgment has been inflicted for our ungodliness, but on Jesus, the Lamb of God, standing in our place. So as we have gathered here tonight on Good Friday, having heard God's word from Revelation 8 about trumpets, I want you to think about one more thing as I close. Again, what is it that trumpets do fundamentally? They make sound. Trumpets make a very distinct sound. And when you hear that sound, it's going to affect each of you, likely from where you are. I mentioned before the passage about Gideon and the Israel blowing the trumpets during the raid on the camp against Midian. Dennis read from Joshua 6 about Israel at Jericho. When those enemies of God who were at Midian, when those enemies of God at Jericho heard the trumpets blaring, what was it that they heard? They heard doom and terror. Their end was near. Judgment was upon them. But think too about Joshua and God's people with him at Jericho, or Gideon and his people with him as they faced the Midianites. When the trumpets sounded, what was it that they heard? Hope and victory. Their conquering king was with them, and he would defeat their enemies and deliver his people to safety. The trumpets are blowing now. Hear their call. I hope I've had your attention. For those who hear their warning, it's not too late. It's not too late to turn and believe upon the Lord Jesus, crying out to him to save you. Remember, these are pictures. Pictures of a world burning, now. Pictures of an embittered life, now. Under the world's influence and your own sinfulness. Of the darkness that deepens, now. Of pain, torment, and torture, now. The judgments are coming, increasing yet partially, and point to a greater judgment that awaits. But for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, hear the summoning of our Lord in these trumpets. We do not think the wicked are worse sinners than we are. We take no joy in their judgment. Instead, we are reminded of our own sinfulness and the reminder of our Lord to repent of our sin and rejoice only that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because we must not forget that though victory is sure, our days are not marked by ease or comfort. They are marked instead by suffering and persecution. However, because of the cross, his victory is sure. There is great hope. In the midst of this time and the trials you face, the heartache, the pain, and the suffering, know that they are great. They hurt. They are long, and they feel overwhelming. But hear the trumpets blow. Your Savior is coming. Jesus will return. He's coming again to bring you and me and all who have gone before us. He will bring us safely home because he took our judgment upon himself on that cross, on that Good Friday, that we may have peace with him and life eternal. Let's pray. Father, your word is very clear. The trumpets of Revelation are blowing now. They point to the devastation our sin has caused. The world groans because of our sin and is used to decreate, to escalate, partially to reveal the judgment that is upon those who do not repent and believe on Christ. I pray for those who are hearing the warning that they call, that you would break through in their hearts and reveal to them their great need for a Savior. Because judgment is here, and it is coming, and it will be forever. May you help my brothers and sisters and me in Christ who have heard the warning, who rejoice because our God has taken that punishment we deserved upon himself on that cross on that Good Friday. We thank you, Lord, that we get to rejoice tonight. But I pray that you would help us to remember it was not easy. It was not light. Upon that cross, Christ suffered greatly for our sins. May you help us to remember that our God is great and good and has taken such horrific punishment for us, that your name may be glorified and exalted. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.